If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this second Sunday of July, in the middle of the summer and vacation season, we count it a privilege to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The month of July has gotten off to a wonderful start here at Worth Baptist Church. In fact, last Sunday was a record first Sunday of July in all of the more than 19 years of our church's history. We're grateful to God for the good things He's doing for us here at Worth Baptist Church. Indeed, the days of the summer are days of revival. We would extend to you and to your family a cordial invitation to come and visit with us today in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, where there's a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. Truly, God is good to us. God is bringing about an awareness in the hearts of our people for the need of revival in our day. As we announced last Sunday, we are setting aside Sunday, July the 22nd, as Pray for Revival Day here at our church. Not only so, but we have written every pastor in the city of Fort Worth. We are asking all the pastors in this area, throughout Fort Worth and the metropolitan area, to set aside Sunday, July 22nd, as a day to have a special prayer for revival. Remember the date, Sunday, July 22nd, Pray for Revival Day. And I'm trusting that churches all over the city would join with us in a concerted effort that God would send revival to our city. As we've stated many times before, we feel that the greatest need of this hour for the United States is for us to have an old-fashioned revival. And I can think of no better place for that revival to begin than right here in the city of Fort Worth. So mark the date on your calendar. If you are not attending Sunday school in church somewhere else, we invite you to share this special day of praying for revival with us here at Worth Baptist. Remember the date, Sunday, July 22nd, Pray for Revival Day. In the meantime, why not bring your family even today? Bring them to study the Word of God in the Sunday school hour at 10. Bring them to worship in revival services at 11 and again at 7 this evening. You have a special invitation from the pastor to attend any and all the services of Worth Baptist Church today. Our church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, and that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. We are just two blocks east of the 4400 block of Wichita Street. The address again is Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street. Come today and share the blessings of revival during the days of the summer here at Worth Baptist Church. And for those of you who are listening by radio, perhaps for the very first time, we would take just a moment to acquaint you with this radio ministry. God is using the radio to reach many people. We believe that God is using this medium to go into the hearts and homes and lives of many people. We would like to hear from you by mail this week. We would like to know that you're praying for revival. We would like to know that you will set aside a time in your own home. Perhaps you're shut in. Perhaps you could not get out to church under any circumstance. But on Sunday, July 22nd, if you'd be willing to set aside a time on that day to join with many thousands of others across our city and across our nation. Incidentally, I'm writing this coming week all of the pastors of the World Baptist Fellowship. And we have churches all over the United States. And I'm going to ask them to do in their city what we are doing in Fort Worth, to write the pastors of their city and encourage them to set July 22nd as a day of prayer. So if you can't attend church, why not just in your own home or in the hospital or the rest home or wherever you might be, set aside some time on Sunday, July 22nd, to pray for revival. Why don't you write us this week and let us know that you're going to be praying for revival on Sunday, July 22nd. May God bless you as you write this week to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Sound the Trumpet. I shall read from Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 19, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful again today for thy blessings upon us. We rejoice that we have the blessed privilege of voicing the gospel of redeeming grace and of sounding the trumpet for revival in our day. May this revival be a reality in the hearts and lives not only of the people of the city of Fort Worth, but across this nation and around the world. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 19. Nehemiah writes, And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. Sounding the trumpet. The day that Nehemiah arrived in the city of Jerusalem was a day of destiny. The city lay in ruins. The people were scattered. There was corruption in high places. Almost 100 years had passed since Judah declared her independence from Babylon and had returned to reestablish herself as a nation in her own right. At this particular point, the Jews were in process of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. They had endured much opposition, not only from their enemies without, but from their brethren within. Like any nation, Israel had enemies from within and from without. What did the leader, Nehemiah, do in this instance? Did he give up? Did he turn back? Did he compromise his convictions? Did he surrender? No, 10,000 times no. No true leader ever quits, but rather rises to meet the challenge. Nehemiah regrouped his forces. Nehemiah trained them, and he encouraged them to go forward. Observe a moment his strategy. First of all, he recognized the fact that he had an enemy. Then he organized his workers. He mobilized his forces. He encouraged his people. He motivated his warriors to fight for their families and to fight for their freedom. He equipped his men with the proper weapons. And then he challenged all his laborers to labor and to have in one hand an instrument and in another hand a weapon of war. The result was a well-organized, well-prepared, and fully mobilized army of workmen. In the 20th century, we are faced with our greatest challenge in history. This is a day of turmoil. This is a day of strife. This is a day of corruption. This is a day of apostasy. And I am here today to sound the trumpet. And I am trumpeting for revival. For I believe that a spiritual revival would solve many of our problems. I believe a revival would solve the problem of race, of poverty, of ecology, and of morality in our nation today. And I further believe this, that unless America repents and experiences this spiritual revival, someday someone will write about this country what Edward Gibbons wrote about Rome. The name of the book describing America's demise might be The Fall and Decline of the American Nation. Yes, I'm here today to sound the trumpet for revival. And I believe there are three reasons why we should sound the trumpet in 1973. First of all, we should sound the trumpet to call men to worship. Emerson said, and I quote, "Worship is the most important single function of any nation." Thomas Carlyle once wrote, "No greater calamity can fall upon a nation than the loss of the freedom of worship." Worship is indeed our most precious freedom. When the freedom of worship is gone, all freedom is gone. A nation in religious bondage will soon find itself in political bondage, and in social bondage, and in economic bondage. Thank God that during this time of the celebration of the 4th of July, we have in the United States of America the freedom of worship. Americans should pause at this time and thank God for the freedom of worship, the freedom of press, and the freedom of speech. We should thank God that in America there are no concentration camps. We should thank God that there is no secret police. There is no Siberian desert to which men are sent to labor or perhaps even to die. I believe today as never before, we should rally around the Bible and the flag and give God praise for both. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." To paraphrase a Civil War adage, hold on to your Bibles, the conservatives are going to rise again. The silent majority in this nation has been silent too long. We should speak up and be heard, and we shall be. The freedom of worship is a precious freedom. To the Christian, it means just one thing. It means that we worship the only true and living God, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The psalmist wrote, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The trouble with many people today is this. They are kneeling before the gods of money, materialism, pleasure, gold, and silver. You see, the devil doesn't care what you worship as long as you do not worship God. In the Old Testament, there's a beautiful story about the Hebrew children. There went out a decree from Nebuchadnezzar that all people in his province must bow down to the golden image. But the three Hebrew children said, "We will not worship. We will not bow down before the golden image." This is the kind of resolute we need today. This is the kind of determination we need in this hour. Americans and Christians should say in unison, "We will not bow down before the gods of this world, but rather we will worship only the true and living God." The New Testament opens with worship. The wise men came from the east and said, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The last injunction in the Bible is an injunction to worship God. It's written in Revelation 22 and verse 9. When John, the beloved apostle, would have bowed down before the angel said, "No, do not worship me, but rather worship God." And that's our injunction today. We should worship only the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. In heaven, our worship shall continue. We see the picture in the Revelation chapter 5. Around the throne of God, the elders representing Israel and representing the believers of the New Testament era are bowing down before God to continue to worship him throughout all the ages of eternity. Yes, we should sound the trumpet today to call men to worship. In the second place, we should sound the trumpet to signal men to the task of rebuilding our broken down walls. Our Jerusalem lies in spiritual ruin today. Our walls are broken down. We should rise to rebuild these walls around our spiritual Jerusalem in this hour. we should rebuild the wall of our spiritual heritage. Pericles built a civilization upon culture, and it failed. Caesar built a civilization upon power, and it failed. Our forefathers built this civilization and this nation upon faith in God, and it will survive only as long as we honor Him. The wall of our spiritual heritage is crumbling. We must rise and rebuild it. Then there's the wall of our moral courage. Too many Christians have toothpicks for backbones today. We need an iron rail of courage for a spine in the 20th century. Our wall of moral courage is crumbling. We must rise and rebuild it even now. Then there's the wall of biblical principles. Without the Bible, we are in a no man's land of spiritual darkness. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible speaks as God has spoken. And our wall of biblical principles is crumbling. In 1973, we must rise and rebuild the wall of biblical principles by which we govern our lives and by which we govern our churches and ultimately by which we should govern our nation. There's a third reason we sound the trumpet today. We sound the trumpet to alert men to the dangers that we face. Our nation faces the danger of internal collapse. Perhaps John Dean was right when he said, "A cloud hangs over our government." We are in trouble in high places in government today, and God alone knows what the hearings of the Watergate affair are going to bring out. But what America needs to do is to divert her attention to things spiritual. And we need a revival that'll turn Washington and the capital of not only of the United States, but of every state in the Union, back to God and back to the Bible, and back to the church and back to the path of righteousness that we once walked. I repeat, our nation faces the danger of internal collapse. Someone has described our civilization as being like an ape playing with matches in a room filled with dynamite. Our only hope of survival is a revival of spiritual values in America. The churches of America face their dangers also. The church faces its greatest danger not from forces without, but from forces within. He was right who said, "The temple of truth will not be damaged half as much by woodpeckers from without as by termites from within." What are some of the dangers we face in our churches today? One danger is the danger of worldliness. God put the church in the world, and the devil is trying to put the world in the church. A second danger is indifference. If men go to hell, who cares? The third danger is liberalism. Someone drew a cartoon with a steeple of a church toppling to the ground. From inside came the voice, "We have outgrown the Bible." Beloved, if these days don't turn around and bring a revival of spiritual things, if men do not turn to the belief in the fundamentals of the Book of God, if this day of apostasy keeps on growing, if liberals keep taking over seminaries and churches, we are headed for a religious collapse in America. We need a revival in the churches of America to spare us from the danger of the takeover of liberalism and modernism in our schools and in our churches across the land. Yes, the church faces its dangers in 1973. Then we as individuals face our dangers too. Many parents listening to this broadcast this moment, you face the danger of losing the influence that you have over your children. Some of you young people listening today to this broadcast, you face the danger of losing your sense of direction in life. And we all face the danger of losing our sense of values in life. We must sound the trumpet. And the only thing that will stem the tide of the dangers that we face is a revival from above. I want you to join with me daily in prayer that God will send a revival to America, that God will send a revival to our city and to our churches. I repeat, the only thing that will stem the tide of the dangers that we face in 1973, the dangers in government, the dangers in our economy, the dangers in religion, the only thing that will stem this tide is an old-fashioned revival. And I'm hoping that many of you will write this week and say, I'm praying for revival. I believe that too, and I want to see revival for our city. I want to see revival for our nation, and I'm praying that God will send that old-fashioned revival to the city of Fort Worth and to America. Will you do that this week? Just write us a card and let us know that you too are praying for revival. I have a footnote, and then I'm through. I cannot speak of trumpets without reminding you of another trumpet, a distant trumpet. Paul calls it the trumpet of the Lord. Let us wait with patience for that trumpet to sound. When the dead in Christ shall rise, and all who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be. That will come to pass when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And that may come at any moment. My question to you is this. Are you ready? If not, you can be ready by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And I hope that you'll do it right now. Let me remind you again that we would extend to you a cordial invitation to come and worship the Lord with us today at Worth Baptist Church. In the Sunday school hour at 10, the morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. May God bless you as you plan to attend Worth Baptist Church today. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.